בוקר טוב, יום רביעי בשבת קודש, חטא באב, ערב תשעה באב. So we were in סימן ראשון גימל, in הלכות צדקה. So we were speaking about yesterday, what happens if they collect money for a certain purpose, and there's extra, there's leftover money. So we said in certain situations it goes to the heirs of the person who died or whatever it is. So we're up to Seif Zayin, and he says like this. Ma'ot שגבו לפדיון שבוי, שבוי ומת קודם שנבדה. What happens if they collected money for פדיון שבויים, for a certain captive, and before they were able to get him out, before they were able to redeem him, he died. What do you do with the money? יש מי שאומר שם של יושב, ויש מי שאומר שלא זכו בהם יושב. There's a מחלוקת. Some say that the heirs have a right to this money, and others say no, they don't. And says Maran, וזה הדעת נוטה. בזמן הזה, דין הדעתה הוא שלא התנדבו על דעת כן, והוא הדין לנטמע. Which means that we understand nowadays that when people, as opposed to, for instance, let's say, a certain ani, or they collected for the tzorkei amit, and then they have left over, we understand that people are okay with it going to the heirs, to the children. מה שאין כן, by the פדיון שבויים, if the guy wasn't out, we understand that people don't want it to go to the heirs, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, he follows that opinion. וכן, והוא הדין, says the Shulchan Aruch, וכן הדין לנטמע. What happens if the same הלכה applies, let's say they go to do פדיון שבויים, and the guy doesn't die, but he's dead spiritually. Which means that he's already, by the time they go there, he's already acting like a goy. So at which point there's already no chiyuv of pidyon shvuyim. So what do you do with the money? Says the Hashavui ben Avdei Kohavim, kodem shenivda. Same thing, it goes back to the people who gave it, and the children cannot collect it. Says the Rama, v'ayin b'choshen mishpat, siman shpegimal, v'hu adin, im nadar echad liyitoma, ma'ot le'asiya, u'meta, de'lo zachu ba'im yorshim. Which means, let's say a person made a pledge to give X amount of money to marry off a yitoma, and she ended up dying before the chuppah, Shem Yerachem. So what do? The money has to go back to the people who gave, and we don't say, no, I'll give it to the heirs of the yitoma. No, that's not what they meant. They didn't mean for that money to go there, and everybody understands that. Now, umiu, kol zman shichaya, hem shel yitoma, v'tzerich latet la miyad, v'en mamtinin ad nisu'ea, v'imeta hama'ot chuzrin. V'an chosh mishpat, zman shun gimel, di yesh cholkim. Which means he says that as long as she's still alive, we don't say, well, let's wait until the actual chuppah. No. Give her the money right away. If they collect it for the tzorich of the chuppah of the yitoma, give her the money right away. Don't delay giving the money until she's actually ready to get married. Because, oh, maybe she's going to die. Maybe she's not going to, maybe the shidduch is going to get broken off. No. If the yitoma is here, you give her the money right away. It's hers. And if the shidduch breaks off, if she dies, whatever it is, then the money will go back to those who donated it, because we don't say in that situation that people meant for the money to go to the heirs. Okay? Now, says the Shulchan Aruch Vayitar, Saif Chet, Ani shenatan pruta litzdaka, mekabelin mimenu. Which means that if, now everybody's obligated to give tzedakah. In general, even anim, there's a threshold, obviously. If the person is so, we spoke about it in an earlier simanim, if the person is so poor that he doesn't have what to support himself with, he's patur min tzedakah also. But now let's say you have a random ani who comes and gives tzedakah. The question is, are you allowed to accept it? Right? You know the guy's an ani. Says Maran, you're allowed to accept the tzedakah. However, v'im lo natan, en v'chayvin oto litin. If he didn't give, you don't force him, you can't impose tzedakah on the ani, as beddin can upon other non-aniim. And now he says, "Natnu lo begedim chadashim ve'echzir ha'ishanim mekabelin mimenu v'im lo echzir en mechayvin oto." In a similar vein, let's say part of the tzedakah, they had a clothing distribution. So that they gave out new clothes to the ani, and whatever it is, the ani took the new clothes, and he came back and returned the old ones. Not sure, I guess they had like some sort of gemach or flea market or whatever it is that they were able to do with the old clothes. So it says, Maran, you're allowed to accept it from him. Why? Because apparently, if the idea, the theme over here is the same, that if the ani is giving tzedakah, or if the ani is giving back his old clothing, apparently he's able to do without it. And if he already made that determination, you're allowed to accept the tzedakah from him. Unlike what we said before by a wife. if a wife gives a matana meruba, right? Sometimes I've seen this happen in shul. It's very funny. Sometimes you have the halakha, Maran Shulchan Aruch brings down that you're not allowed to accept a matana meruba from a woman. Why? Because she doesn't really have her own money. I mean, nowadays it can happen, but in general, women don't have their own money. Their money is, you know, at least joint with their husbands. So, you know, she has to ask permission from her husband before she gives a significant amount of money that's done. If she gives $1, $5, $10 in Yodama, that's okay. But if it's a significant amount of money, it needs the reshut shel ba'ala. Now, I've seen in shul sometimes, most of this is funny, for gabayim this is huge. Sometimes, like when husband and wife are fighting, that shlom bayit problems, so then the wife starts bidding, like you know, lo da, aliyat shlishi. How much is aliyat shlishi? Chai, amayim chai, three times, whatever, 101, and yodama, 500, 700, whoa, what just happened? And then what? And then nobody's bidding against her, she keeps on bidding against herself. Boom, higher and higher, and then what? Zachta. She wins the bid, and then hushi mechabedet ba'ala. And you see the husband there smoldering. Yeah, that's, you know, you can't do that. Sometimes, if the woman has her own money, but just, you know, to stick it to her husband, like, during the week, she would go shopping and swipe her husband's credit card. You can't swipe a credit card on Shabbat, so what does she do? She buys aliyot. That's what she does. You can't do that. But, you know, it's a question in halakha, does the gabai have a chiyuv? Sometimes if you're, you know, if the gabai is with it, he'll be able to chap that something's off over there. So does he have a chiyuv to shoot her down? Because if he shoots her down, then besides for her doing this, so he's going to be airing their dirty laundry in front of the whole kahal. Like, a smart gabai, you know what he'll do? If she starts shooting high, he'll just ignore her. Ignore her a bit, like, okay, anyone else? Anybody have a chai? Like, so that's, you know, so that's a different story already. I once heard a gabai saying the shul was great. I loved it. And it was like a slow Shabbat. So, chai, whatever. So the gabai got upset. This was in Israel. So in Israel, everything's even worse in Israel because they give chai also, but everything's in shkalim, not in dollars. So anyway, so yeah, the chai shekin, whatever. He's like, dai kvar, tavyu mit, right? Donate mit. Do that. Who cares about chai? Yeah. Anyway, aval. Today. Well, not really impose a fine. They can go for collection. In those times, Beit Din doesn't have. Unfortunately, we don't. We pray every day, Shiva Shuftenu Kivarishona, but Beit Din doesn't have that kind of authority anymore. They don't wield that authority. But Bizman, when Beit Din did have power, they were able to, you know, actually be memashkin people, put liens and levies on people to give tzedakah, whatever Beit Din determined. Now, again, there are different levels of tzedakah based on a person's socioeconomic, you know, situation. But in general, if Beit Din determined that the person wasn't donating enough tzedakah, they would put liens on his property, so, or his assets, whatever. So that's with regards to that. So next time you hear a woman, you know, bidding for an aliyah, 500 and 700 and whatever, the gabai loves it. Aval, there's an element of gezel with it. There is an element of gezel because, you know, chelo bishut ba'ala. Unless, you know, I've seen it happen the other way too. I've seen it happen that sometimes the wife is like a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, and the husband's stay at home dad, and she's buying him aliyot like it's going out of business because she loves him to death. Matovu manayim, namano. But, you know, usually it doesn't work that way. And so, you know, gabai has to be pikeach. We spoke about many different things that gabayim can do, especially sometimes, let's say there's an appeal. Appeal for something, yeah. Gabai gets up there. Poskim have a Rav Moshe has a tshuva on it also. He says, let's say the gabai gets up there. And by an appeal, it's nahug that everybody, you know, people raise their hand and says, this guy gives this much, this guy gives this much. Now let's say the gabai is, he wants to get everybody involved. So he starts calling out people. He starts putting people on the spot. And you, Plani, how much do you give? That's who you're putting the guy on the spot. Maybe, and then, even over there, there's another question in the post-scheme. If a person is put on the spot and he's ashamed and he pledges a certain amount, but he knows that is he bound by that pledge? Because he only did it in order to spare himself from,
Now, if they get, you know, if everybody's giving, you know, a few hundred dollars to a certain cause, yeah, and then the gabbai puts him on the spot, what's he going to say? He's going to say, hi, he's going to be ashamed, miskin. Mayase. So therefore, he says, he also says, this is $500, but he can't afford a miskin. Mayase, is he bound by that 500 or not? So over there, the poskim do bring down, especially if at the time of that he said the pledge, bida'ato, he knew that he was only saying it, he knew that he was not able to withstand it, and he's doing it only in order to spare himself from the shame. Over there, he would not be chayav, but he would have to do hataran darim first. He's eligible for hataran darim, but once he does it, he would not have to pay. He should give something, you know, just like by an aliyah. Many times people go for an aliyah, and the gabbai says, give mishberach. He says, mishberach oteno, yeah, ba'avur shemitnadev. That's a kind of putting on the spot, but everybody's used to it, so that's okay, that's all right. So if a guy doesn't want to give something specific, so he says, matanat yado, matanat libo, whatever different things. Over there also, the poskim say, a person has to be very, very careful. Even when you say matanat libo, matanat yado, give something. Why? Because ba'avur shemitnadev matanat yado means that you're giving something. There's no minimum or maximum, but you should give something. Also as a karat tov, there's no, you know, if you have to pay for a mitzvah, the Ariya Kadosh was always very makpid. Maran Achida brings down in his Sefer Petach Inayim, Maran Achida, that the Ariya Kadosh, whose Yartzeit was on Sunday, by the way, the Ariya Kadosh was always makpid to pay top dollar for mitzvah. And he would never negotiate on mitzvah. He brings down especially by Arbat Aminim. By Arbat Aminim, by Matzah, whatever. The Kaf Chaim brings down by Matzah also. That when the Ariya Kadosh was faced with, you know, an opportunity to purchase a mitzvah, never, ever bargained. You don't bargain for a mitzvah. He said such a svara that when a person bargains for the price of a mitzvah, the schar, the reward for a mitzvah, is relative to how much you pay for it. Such a thing. Now again, you know, it doesn't, whenever the way the chida brings it down, is that whatever the mocher, whatever the salesman told the Ari HaKadosh, the etrog is X amount. Boom, on the spot, opened up his wallet, straight. How much is a, you know, pound or a kilo of matzot? X amount. Boom, on the spot. You know, it didn't say that he even went bargain. There's no problem looking for bargains. You know, you can look for a bargain. Bargaining with the salesman on mitzvah is a different story. But the Ari HaKadosh didn't even do that. He had a certain salesman, apparently. He went to a certain place. However much the guy said, like Yaakov Avinu said, Lavan actually said to Yaakov Avinu, Nukuba secharcha alai ve'etena. However much you ask for, that's it. Lavan was a big talker, right? But Lehabdil Elif Rafi Abdelot, there was once I'll end with this since I mentioned Lavan in the context of the Ari HaKadosh. One time on Parashat Vayetze, that's when the whole situation happened between Yaakov Avinu and Lavan, right? And Ki Chalifet Maskurti Aseret Monim. Says Rashi, Monim is 10. Aseret Monim, Lavan switched Yaakov's wages 100 times. So once the Alshich was giving a derasha on Lil Shabbat Parashat Vayetze, the Alshich was from where? Tzfat, Rabbi Moshe Alshich, he was Musmach of Maran Bet Yosef, Maran Shulchan Aruch. So he was giving a derasha on Parashat Vayetze, and he said, he started explaining, he had a whole theory about what the 100 times how he changed the wages. So the Ari HaKadosh was in the Bita Knesset at the time, listening to him. He was a contemporary of the Al-Sheikh, and the Ari HaKadosh started laughing in the middle of the Dirasha. So, I mean, it wasn't really saying anything amusing, it was just giving a Dirasha about how he did it. So after the Dirasha, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh comes to the Ari HaKadosh and he says, Rabin, why were you laughing during the Dirasha? What was funny? So he says, no. So he says, no, Rabbi, tell me. He says, well, listen, when you gave the drasha, Lavan's neshama came, I can't say came down from Olam HaEmet, but came up from Gehinne Gehinnam during the drasha, and he was sitting there, and you were saying the drasha, and he was very, you know, content about what you were saying, you nailed it, except for one. One of them wasn't accurate, and he heard that, Lavan heard that, and he's like, should have done that one too. So that HaKadosh was laughing. It's like, as the Gemara says, "Reshaim afilu apitcha shel Gehinam enam shavim." The Reshaim, even at the entrance of Gehinam, even when they're in Gehinam, they don't do tshuva. See, Lavan, where is his head? Even if you're in Gehinam, you're suffering. Where's his head? Stick it in again. Zeh, dayer in Gehinam, speak. No, he's not done yet. That's the Rishayim operator. So,
בוא נעשה עוד הלכה אחת. Says Maran, אני שאינו רוצה לקחת צדקה, מערימין ונותנים לשם התנה או לשם הלוואה.
Let's say you say, here's another thing. Sometimes, many times, you have aniyim who are not real aniyim and they take tzedakah, which is a problem. But many other times, you have people who are real aniyim, and especially by Tanu d'Chachamim, they don't feel comfortable taking tzedakah. They have such yirat shamayim, they don't consider themselves aniyim or whatever it is. So over there, what do you do if you have an ani? He's a legitimate ani. You know, the guy is dirt poor, but he is not taking tzedakah. What do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you should find a way to kind of come from the back door and give him tzedakah either as a gift or as a loan or whatever it is, or a way that, you know, I've done this before. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, many of the avrechim are anim, right? I don't have to tell you, anybody who learned in Eretz Yisrael knows, you see people who are learning there and they're very poor. So many, and sometimes, you know, a person has a sense of self-respect. Even aniyim have a sense of self-respect, and it prevents them from taking tzedakah. It's very shameful. So what do you do for a person like that? You have to find a way to kind of, you know, give him, this is a gift from Ploni. It's hakarat hatov. Oh, hakarat hatov, he feels better about it. You tell him somebody has hakarat hatov for you, whatever it is, kind of work it so that you're able to give him tzedakah in a more dignified manner so that he doesn't feel ashamed to take it. Says the next Shulchan Aruch, Yod, Ashira Mara'iv Atzmo, Ve'ayno Tzara B'mamono, Shelo Yochan Mimenu, En Mashgichin Bo. Which means, let's say, you have a rich person, and it's an illness. He's cheap, right? He's stingy. The guy has money, and he doesn't spend it. To the extent, he has money, and he doesn't spend it, that he's like, he's hungry. I'm saying he's like, he makes himself poor. I say stingy in Farsi? Chassis?
Yeah.
It's a machala. Some people have a machala that they're not able to spend their money, and that brings them and their families to a situation of poverty. It's like crazy. Says, but over there we don't give him tzedakah. You have to break him and say, Ya Habibi, spend the money. For some people, spending money is worse than death. You'd rather kill him than machala kasha. The Or Letzion, Agon Chacham Letzion of Hashem, Zechet Tzadik Livracha. You know, he has a Sefer Musar. Yeah? It's called Chochma Musar, Zichron Adasa. He wrote it in the memory of his wife. And he says over there, one of the biggest marriage killers in life is being cheap. There's nothing that hurts a woman more than her husband being cheap. And he says, now again, there's a difference between being cheap and spending, like wasting and spending indiscriminately. Obviously, there's got to be a balance. But being cheap, being stingy, is very, very detrimental to a marriage. He says, terrible. And he says even more so. He says that, let's say a person doesn't have so much. He's not spending like crazy amounts, but he wants to go above and beyond to show his family that he's not cheap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill in that void of what he spent and give it back to him. Why? Because he's doing it in order l'ma'an shalom, and to show that he's not steeped in this mitzvah, in this midah of being of being a miser. Kadosh Baruch Hu yishlim et chisron. So says the Or Letzion. It's a big thing. So over here you have this ani. It's not pashut. You got to break the guy. You cannot allow him to take tzedakah. So naaseh. Oh, it's already time to prepare for shacharit. Bezat Hashem, tomorrow we won't have regular schedule. Tomorrow. I'll be giving a shiur ben yanit tish'a b'av tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock over here. And then on Friday, Bezat Hashem, we'll resume the Ilchot Tzedakah and Tomei Devorah and everything as usual. I wish everybody an easy and meaningful fast, and Bezat Hashem, this should be the last one. Shemirachem alim, Bezat Hashem.